This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. You cannot do a jazz series without this sound. It's music from the Dirty Dozen, one of a number of famous brass bands that helped give the city of New Orleans its voice. But what is New Orleans jazz? How is it faring since Hurricane Katrina sent the city's musicians to higher ground? Well, we've got three musicians who helped make up the heart and soul of the city with us. Irvin Mayfield is a trumpeter, composer, band leader, and cultural ambassador of New Orleans. Irma Thomas is known as the Queen of New Orleans Soul, but that soul is linked to New Orleans jazz. And Greg Davis is a trumpeter and a founder of the Dirty Dozen Brass Band, one of the city's longtime ensembles. Folks, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Glad to be here.
I'm doing great. So, Greg, let me start with you. We are hearing a very distinct sound from your band, the Dirty Dozen. Explain for folks who don't know what kind of music you play.
First of all, it's music, and I think the fact that we're here in New Orleans, started out the band here in New Orleans, grew up in New Orleans, it's New Orleans music. Even when we were taking bits and pieces from other forms of music, it all ends up being New Orleans music, which for us, I think the main thing that we wanted to make sure happened with the music is that people could dance and move to the music.
But give me just a tiny little bit of history on how these brass bands developed.
Well, the history of brass bands as a brass band goes way, way back to the French military style of having bands and doing funerals and all that way, way back. But as far as the bands as they are now, the Dirty Dozen imitated what had been done with the brass bands that existed in the 40s, 50s, and 60s here in New Orleans, where they played, developed music from the church hymns and then took that on into, you know, secular music. For the Dirty Dozen, the history goes, we intended to imitate what was happening with brass bands just before the Dirty Dozen, but we weren't getting any work. But we had gotten to the habit of rehearsing, 5-6 hours a night, and this would have been in the mid-70s. And in doing those rehearsals, we found that, okay, we're not getting any work, so let's experiment with some other music. The other music then happened to be so-called modern jazz, R&B. I mean, we would, at rehearsals, we'd rehearse some Charlie Parker and then some Marvin Gaye or some James Brown or whatever, you know. And then when we would get a gig, we'd play what we had rehearsed.
Irma, you are one of those people who also has a very broad sense of what music is. You have an album coming out. It's called Simply Grand, and let's listen to a little bit of This Bitter Earth.
This bitter earth it can be so cold. Today you're young, too soon you're old.
Now, you can't help but think when you hear a song like this, a classic song like this, you can't help but think of what New Orleans has been through. And I have been blessed to have been to New Orleans many times, including reporting on Katrina, but also just to enjoy your culture. What happened to you as a person and as a musician during the whole Katrina event and aftermath?
Well, I was blessed that the only gig I had in the month of August took me out of the city. I had one gig scheduled for that month. It was that day, that Saturday, at the end of August, and I was in Austin, Texas. And we had flown to Austin to do the gig, and of course we had only packed enough belongings to last a couple of nights. And unfortunately, we were not able to return. We didn't get back to Louisiana until the Wednesday after. So I consider myself blessed in that if you know, if I had been home, I probably would have been actually resting in peace by now, because I would have probably gone to bed and did not wake up from being drowned in the flood. Because normally you stay up all night and you watch the hurricane, and when it's over with, you go to bed and catch up on your sleep. And that's how a lot of folks lost their lives. They were actually asleep when the floods came. So I consider myself blessed. And I was sitting in the hotel in Austin when I was watching the news and discovered that I was among the folk that they were concerned about the whereabouts of, and Fats Domino was the other. And I couldn't wait to get back to Louisiana to call somebody and let them know. But, of course, the 504 area code was not working, so I couldn't contact anyone to let them know that I was okay and that I was safe in the Austin, Texas area.
And you ended up losing a nightclub that you'd been running.
Oh, yeah. 24 years, the Lion's Den had been operating, and it was like my second living room, and everything went under. The water was actually above the roof at the club. It was up to the roof at our home, but it was over the roof at the club, and we lost everything. It took my husband about 3 or 4 days to go in after he was able to get in to find some of the cash register and some of the other things that he was looking for in the club. Mm-hmm. It was just that bad.
Irvin, we're going to talk quite a bit about your music and all of the different hats you wear, including cultural ambassador of New Orleans. But I'm wondering if you can tell us, and I'm sure it's difficult, about what happened to your father.
Yeah, well, he was a unfortunate victim of Hurricane Katrina. He did drown, so he was a victim. And basically, that example that Miss Thomas gave about what happens in a hurricane is generally the case. I mean, people, you know, look, we're used to hurricanes, and most of all in New Orleans, we're used to flooding to the extent that once every 5 or 6 years you get some water in your house, and in 2-3 days it's gone, and you replace your carpet and your furniture. A levee breach is something that just is completely unheard of, and that whole experience was something out of a, you know, out of what you would hope to be a movie or some fantasy experience, but it wasn't. So my dad was a victim of drowning due to that. And we, part of the great tragedy was we weren't able to really know about that until months later, until his body was found, which had to be found with DNA samples. And the other thing was we weren't able to give the proper burials because of, you know, that type of situation and bodies not being found for so long. So it was a really unique and very tragic situation, which is very interesting now when you look at a lot of the catastrophes that have happened in the United States this year. People kind of have an understanding of what we experience in New Orleans, but they don't really get that, you know, when you talk about a town with the type of populations that they're talking about, you really have to multiply it times 100 to understand really what the New Orleans experience was.
Let me play a little bit of In a Sentimental Mood, a bit of your music originally by Duke Ellington. So I understand you're 30 years old, is that correct?
That's right, I'm 30 years old.
Okay, so you are a professor, you work with kids, you have a band, and you're the cultural ambassador of the city of New Orleans. How do you pack that in?
Well, I think really a lot of the stories of the average New Orleanian is that everybody's doing their part. You know, in this town, people have kind of done stories all around the country about the volunteers that we have here, but a lot of the work that we do, I guess we can't really be considered as volunteers because it's our whole city, but it's just an example of everybody doing their part. So whether it's being on a library board or, you know, working with kids or just getting out, trying to clean up around your block, I'm not doing anything different than what the average New Orleanian is doing. This is just what's required right now to keep the city moving forward.
Well, just want to let folks know, if anyone has just tuned in the middle of this, we're talking about New Orleans jazz. This is NPR's News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea, and we just were hearing from Irvin Mayfield, a trumpeter, composer, band leader, and cultural ambassador of New Orleans. Also got Irma Thomas, singer and recording artist, and Greg Davis of the Dirty Dozen Brass Band. Greg, let me go to you as a fan. In addition to being a musician, I'm sure you're a fan of other artists. in and from New Orleans. So just rattle off a few, and we'll have this on our website, and we'll list it. But for folks who are looking around for some good music, just throw out a few people for us.
Well, in throwing out a few, you know, I might miss some, but, you know, I've had the pleasure, of course, of working with the Dirty Dozen since 1977. But since then, you know, I booked the Jazz at Jazz Fest, I booked stuff at Harris, I teach at Loyola. So I get to interact with all kinds of musicians. I'm sitting here next to Irma. You know, I've known her from way back, even before the Dirty Dozen. I used to do R&B stuff with other bands in the early 70s. I'm 51 now, but I've had the pleasure of also working with Irving, you know, and the stuff that he does. I don't think I could just name some without forgetting, you know, others, but, you know, there's Fats Domino, if he still does some stuff. There's Alan Toussaint. There are a lot of the locals that I like listening to. You know, Walter Washington, I like going out to check out. I mean, there are a lot of people here. There's B.J. Crosby. I mean, just a lot of people. I tell you what, you know, other cities have been sort of crowned as we never close, but you can truly come to New Orleans and always find some good music almost any time of the day or night.
Irma, I want to go into, there's so much to talk about, and as we were here in our offices, like, well, you know, what can we do on New Orleans jazz that doesn't require a 10 CD set? Well, we can't cover it all, but there's some interesting stories, and I want to go to one of them. We know Louis Armstrong belongs to New Orleans, but one of gospel's greatest singers also comes from New Orleans. I'm talking about Mahalia Jackson.
Yes.
She had some interesting, not uncommon thoughts about jazz, though. What were they?
Well, Mahalia was a gospel singer, and she was true to her genre. She did not stray outside of her field, and it comes from her upbringing, such as same as me. We were all raised in the church, and we were taught that you do not sing gospel music in nightclubs. You do not mix the two when you're doing a performance. And I'm one of those folks that don't mix the two. I'm often asked to sing Amazing Grace when I'm doing my R&B set, and I will politely tell them, no, I don't do that. If you want to find me singing gospel, come to 2216 3rd Street at First African Baptist Church. I'm on the second row in the alto section. And she was true to her upbringing. She wanted to sing gospel. She stuck to her guns, and that's all she would do. And she really didn't look down on the jazz scene. She just did not want to be a part of it or associated as being a participant for her living. And that's the way she stood her ground.
And Irving, she did make one important exception, and that was for Duke Ellington. Let's hear a little bit of Mahalia Jackson with Duke Ellington singing Come Sunday. When you listen to that collaboration, and I'm not going to ask you to put a label on what it is, but what do you hear?
Well, you can ask me what it is. It's jazz. I think to clarify what Ms. Thomas is talking about, she's talking about, first of all, an environment. And when you're talking about European classical music traditions, be it symphony orchestras, and when you're talking about jazz, especially when you're talking about the core of it that Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington have done, you're really talking about a art form of music, and the environment is appropriate. I mean, actually, European classical music was born out of the church, as we know from Bach, and much is the same as jazz music was born out of the church from Louis Armstrong. The brass band songs were all church songs at first. I mean, one of our most famous jazz songs is Oh, When the Saints Go Marching In. I think what Mahalia Jackson really was saying was that she was a gospel singer. That's what she did. She did not want to be something else, because that would not be true. And what Mrs. Thomas is talking about, the appropriate thing at the appropriate time. You know, I wouldn't want to play a symphony piece in the middle of a club either. And I don't want to truncate, spiritual music down to the level of a club or a symphonic piece, but to say that the right environment, the right things have to be put together. And New Orleans is a ceremonial place, and we know about when the appropriate time to do the appropriate thing is. And, Mahalia Jackson was an example of a classic New Orleanian.
Ceremonial place. There have been some battles over the second line and what's the role of music in the new Orleans. Irvin, and I'm going to get each of you to comment just very quickly on this. Do you think that your traditions will continue?
Well, the first thing is, I have a very intimate relationship. I'm on a Police and Justice Foundation with the chief of police, Juan Riley, and with the mayor. And we had a press conference that said that no musicians would ever be arrested for playing an instrument. I think what we do have is misconfusion, miscommunication about that. And the city of New Orleans, number one natural resource is its culture. And at the center of that is music and it is food. So the city cannot continue to be the city without that.
Irma, just quickly, are you confident that you guys can hold on? And for
yes.
John, yeah.
Yes, we can, because we, by nature, we are survivors, and our talent is our survival, is part of our survival skills. And we do what we do best, that is bring joy to folks who are at a time in their lives when they need something to break away from the drudgery of trying to reconstruct their lives. And so for no other reason, it will become a strong force into giving people some inspirational hope to continue their lives as we know it here in New Orleans.
Greg?
Yeah, well, I think I would agree with what both have said, but I do know even before the storm, to be a musician in New Orleans was somewhat of a struggle. You know, we the Dirty Dozen, we made our living out on the road away from New Orleans, but our hearts and souls were here to live in New Orleans. I've been all over the world. I wouldn't want to live any other place.
Uh-huh.
So even after the storm, to continue the struggle has always been there, and I think musicians will always survive here.
Well, I want to thank the three of you so much for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right.
We've been speaking with Greg Thomas, founding member of the Dirty Dozen Brass Band. Its latest record is an interpretation of Marvin Gaye songs called What's Going On. Irma Thomas is the queen of New Orleans soul. Her forthcoming album is simply grand, and Irving Mayfield is a trumpeter, composer, educator, band leader. His latest record is Love Songs, Ballads, and Standards.